Hello, and welcome to our first episode of Medical Mondays on the podcast. This is actually something I've been doing on Instagram off and on and consistently, posting in my stories. Usually I give a very quick rundown pediatric medicine topic, and I figure, let me see how this works if I can do it simultaneously and start doing it as a live video on Instagram and also record for my podcast audience. So if you follow me on the podcast, I thank you. And if you're not following me on Instagram, go ahead, check me out there. Dr. Dr. Mom_Sage, S-A-G-E, advice on Instagram, because I share a lot of things in my story and of course on my feed as well to encourage the community and things like this, Medical Mondays. So let's dive into it. Welcome and thank you for listening to the Dr. Mom Sage Advice Podcast. Are you a single mom who is tired of feeling overwhelmed by doing it all? Have you been asking yourself, what is my real purpose outside of motherhood and my career? Are you tired of yelling, feeling mom guilt at the end of the day? If you're ready to go from chaos to confidence in your mindset and in parenting, then this is the place for you. Here we are authentic, transparent, and frankly, we're here to burst all of those mom guilt bubbles and empower you to take back control of your life so you can go from just surviving in motherhood to thriving and walking confidently in your best purpose-filled life God intended for you. I'm your host, Dr. Catricia, a board-certified bilingual pediatrician. I'm also fellowship-trained in pediatric urgent care medicine. That's just my fancy title for the weekdays, but 24/7, I'm the proud single mommy of my little wild mini-me toddler. I'm also a postpartum depression survivor. Now, I'm on a mission to empower other single moms to take back control of their life. Through candid conversations, we will learn, be encouraged, inspired, and committed to making practical changes so we can be our best selves for the queen who reigns already inside of us. And bienvenidos. It's Dr. Catricia here again today. I am the host of the Dr. Mom Sage Advice Podcast. I'm a bilingual pediatrician. I'm also a parent coach and a purpose coach for single mothers. I help single mothers who feel overwhelmed by motherhood chaos to take back control of her life so she can parent with more calm and more confidently in her purpose that God has given her. So this is a special day today because I'm doing Medical Mondays on two platforms. Instagram family, what's up? Podcast family, you hear me, what's up? Go ahead and share and like, and whenever you do listen to this episode, it may be a little confusing for me, you guys. I'm trying to navigate like actually talking to my screen at the audience on Instagram and also looking down at my screen at my podcast recorder to make sure I don't go over length before I get cut off, all right? So today, if you saw in the title, we're going to be talking about the different stages of adolescence and kind of how to parent through that. You know, you guys who know my story know that I am a pediatrician, like I mentioned. I'm also a single mother, but I'm a single mother to a brand new five-year-old. And even though we are out of those three major stages, as I like to call it, four and five, I mean, we're brand new five, so I'll still call it four-year-old. They're funny. And they for sure, and they're definitely testing boundaries. And so sometimes I wonder, is this a little preview of like adolescence? So when I'm speaking to you today, know that I'm speaking to you as a pediatrician for my expertise in that regards of taking care of many adolescents, but not from a mother experience because I am not there yet, but one day will be. All right, so let's define what is adolescence. It's the period, you know, transition between childhood and adulthood, and actually break it up into three phases. So early adolescence, ages 10 to 13, middle 14 to 17, and then late adolescence is 17 into like early 20s. Yes, believe it or not, the brain is not fully developed, you guys, until we are into our early 20s. Hence the reason why a lot of college students make not so great decisions. It's that frontal lobe right there, you know, that has to help you be able to like take the knowledge that you know and to apply it and not be so impulsive in your behaviors, right? Can we think about frat parties or parties that we may have attended on college campus? Some maybe not so great decisions because we didn't really think it through, right? Okay, so the brain is still developing. When you see the 17-year-old, 19-year-old, 18-year-old, 20-year-olds out there doing some questionable things, go ahead and give them a little more grace and remind yourself that their brain is still developing and that's why they're acting the way they're acting, okay? So what are some of the things that come up during these adolescent stages? A lot related to their health and development, you know, particularly as it relates to physical, sexual, cognitive development. Lots of social and emotional changes happen during these stages too, you guys. I mean, we all remember our middle school awkward preteen years. Like, you are really trying to learn who you are. You know, you really are starting to separate yourself independently from your family. It's like, okay, this is what I like. This is, you know, what they do. More privacy is wanted in their early adolescent years. This also may be during the stage where you see there's a lot more curiosity. So we're talking about the early adolescent stage, so like ages 10 to 13. Okay, so your preteens, the tweens. You know, some curiosity in their body changes as they start to grow and develop. There may even be some anxiety related to it. You know, girls will go through puberty, usually start earlier than the boys. So usually the girls are, you know, a little bit taller in middle school, and they come back from summer break that fourth grade, fifth grade year, and come back the next year, fifth, sixth grade, and you're like, oh, there's, you know, a bralette that's being worn now. And so definitely some embarrassment if they may be the first or, you know, or only in their class. So it's important to start to anticipate that these questions and curiosity are going to arise and to prepare yourself as the parent to guide them through these stages, you know, to let them know that this is totally normal. You know, there's nothing to be concerned about, and that they can at any time and always come to you with questions, right? You also want to remember that they are very black and white, concrete thinkers. You know, these early adolescent tweens, when you're like, oh, she just has an attitude, like, it's because it literally is like, the world is against me. Like, it's either I love you one day or I hate you. You're the worst mom the next day. There is no, like, there's no spectrum. It's one end or the other. You know, everything's right or everything's wrong. You know, it could be something as simple as the nail tech got the nail polish color wrong, or they broke it out. And then it's like, oh, my whole life, you know, like, it's just a complete despair. Like, it really is concrete thinking. Like, it's all or nothing, right? So remember, like, it's okay when they're going through these moments. Don't try to sweat the small stuff with them. Like, really allow them to express what they're feeling. Validate those emotions. You guys hear me talk about it all the time, as you know, in my parenting examples that I give on my Instagram. That is a plug for my podcast listeners. If you're not following me on Instagram, go ahead and do that. Dr. Mom_sageadvice. And for my Instagram listeners, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, you know, because there are things sometimes I talk about on my podcast that I'm not always sharing on Instagram, and vice versa. But I'm on Instagram stories a lot, sharing behind the scenes mama truths, being a conscious parent. A single mom who practices conscious parenting and who is also a Christian, you know, and the struggles I go through and like really trying to cultivate the needs that my daughter has for each season of life that she's in. Because as she evolves, I should be evolving in my parenting as well. So what worked at two is not going to work at three. And what's working at three probably won't work at five. And it's the same thing in your stages of adolescence as they go through. You know, they're going to go through body changes. This is the time to definitely talk about what to expect with puberty. This even may be a stage where you start to see that your child may be asking more questions about their gender identity. And this is definitely a difficult period for our transgender children as it relates to how to have that conversation with their family, you know, with their social circle, and being able to fully embrace who they are. Middle adolescence, some similar things, more physical changes as they're going through puberty, continue to go through their growth spurt. They grow so fast. voice changes, start to see a little prickly hairs, you know, in the males, you know, more testosterone drives that, obviously. This is the stage of teenagers where they may start to develop romantic relationships and interests. So even before we get here, go back up, go back up, go back up. Pause right there with early adolescence. Like, if you have not heard your birds and bees conversation in this age group, you need to do it. Like, because they're going to learn from somewhere. TikTok, Netflix, YouTube, whatever they're watching, friends, middle school. So have a conversation. And that age group, you know, help them to understand the anatomy. There's nothing wrong with using anatomical correct name parts. In fact, it's important. Even for my preschooler, like when she was, you know, of age two, as soon as she had words, I'm like, we call our anatomical parts by the correct names. And I did that purposefully because God forbid if anything ever happened where she was inappropriately touched, I need her to know how to be able to describe what was touched, you know, so that I can understand the whomever is investigating can understand. And that's something I teach my patients in my as well, you know, even as the physician, you know. The other reason why I do it is for body autonomy. Like, it's important for a two-year-old, even a one-year-old, you know, to be like, hey, I'm changing your diaper now, you know, like, let them know, you know, what you're doing that we just don't have right at access to be like, okay, pulling down pants and changing diapers. It's like, okay, mom's going to change now, you know, when she goes to the restroom, you know, okay, like, it's okay, you know, you need to close the door. And body autonomy is also part of, like, teaching your kids, okay, it's okay to say no, to not having to accept hugs. Going on a different tangent, but you get what I'm saying with body autonomy. Like, you don't have to wait to have these conversations. Like, you can kind of start to build the bridge. And so if you started those conversations earlier on, then when we get in our tweens, our early adolescents, then we start to say, okay, this is how physiologically you can have a baby. A woman has a uterus. So the other day, my five-year-old's like, so why can boys don't have babies? I'm like, they don't have a uterus. Like, I say the word uterus. She's like, what's a uterus? I'm like, well, it's like a baby. It looks like a nest. Like, when baby mamas, like, baby mamas. When mama birds make a nest to put their eggs inside, the nest host and takes care of the egg and keeps it warm and protects it. So mommy has a uterus right now, but if there's no baby in it, my uterus is really, really small. But if I have a baby in there, then it gets really, really big, right? Keeping it on a five-year-old level. We ain't talking about how an egg has to meet a sperm or anything like that, right? Or where the sperm comes from. Keeping it on a five-year-old level, but I'd use anatomical correct parts for her. So yes, middle adolescent, again, ages 14 and 17, they're going to have those romantic interests. And you want to prepare them, you know, whatever your values may be as it relates to abstinence, celibacy, it's still important to have those conversations because at the end of the day, we're not going to be around our kids 24/7. And they need to know, okay, you can get pregnant. You can impregnate someone. You can become a parent. You know, I have teenagers in my office sometimes and I'm like, are you sexually active? You know, this is what sexually active means. Is your private part being inserted into any orifice that's including the mouth, including a vagina, or including an anus, you know? I need to know that, not because I'm judging you, but because I want to make sure that you are making safe choices for your health. And if you have put yourself at risk, then it's my role and my responsibility to screen you to make sure that you are not, you know, carrying a sexually transmitted infection that you may not have symptoms for. And a lot of times, another part of that conversation will look like, you know, the answer may be yes. And then, of course, the follow-up question is, are you using protection? And are you using protection every time? And when I get the guys saying, oh, no, no. And I'm like, oh, that's when, you know, petty doctor, Dr. Patrice comes in. I'm like, oh, so you're ready to be a dad? Wow. Then he's like, no, I don't want to be a dad. You know, just like, again, concrete thinkers. They can't take the knowledge that they have and apply it to be able to actually not have these impulsive behaviors. So I'm like, well, when you're doing daddy and mommy acts, like, a baby could possibly happen. So let's put the condom on, right? So the brain is still continuing to grow and evolve and mature in this stage, but there's still a lot of difference between how a middle adolescent, even though they're teenagers, I mean, you would think, oh, 17 is kind of grown, especially when you see teenage parents. But no, that's still baby brain up there. They're not thinking like adults.
you know, the brain, like, here's some examples. Like, okay, so you get into college, or no, so say you're, you know, doing well in high school and you're in a math class or something and you've been, you know, getting A's and B's, whatever, but your average is at a B minus, whatever, but the goal was, you know, your dad said, okay, if you get a B plus average at the end of the semester, we're going to do whatever, you know, or I'll buy you this car. Okay. So, you know, I'm talking as if I'm a middle adolescent. I know that, oh, okay. Like I'm barely meeting my goal and I need to keep studying to maintain that goal. But then you're like, oh, well, here's this concert event, or like I got invited, you know, to go over to this pool party, whatever, for the weekend before the big test. It's okay if I just like not do, you know, study for this one test, but it's the one test that like holds the most weight, right? Like they know, but they don't like connect all the dots of what they know. You're like, but you know this stuff. Like, why do, like, I mean, as parents, you know, I can see you getting frustrated. Like, I told you this. Like, we've been down this road before with this conversation. Like, why do I keep repeating myself? It's because their brain is still developing and they're not connecting what you're saying. Like, it's like, knock, knock. Is someone inside of there? that's one example. So late adolescence, that's your 18, 21, and beyond. So yeah, believe it or not, that's still considered an adolescent stage in the pediatric health field. Even though if I were on stream, like, you know, someone who's not my patient, I'm like, oh, how old are you? 21, 22. I'd be like, oh, okay, they grown, they adult. But on the inside, it's still an adolescent brain that's still developing. Again, that frontal lobe is not fully developed. And this is where, in this stage, you know, there's a truer sense of identity. Early adolescence, woo, they're all over the place. Like the cliques that come in middle school and high school and trying to conform and trying to stand out and be your own unique person. Yet, but because of all the crazy bullying that happens, not really getting to be like who you are. And a lot of people struggle through these stages. That's why it's so important to have a foundation in the home setting as a parent to support and validate what their likes are, even if it may seem wild off, or even if it's changing literally every 15 days, right? Still validate what they're feeling, as long as obviously it's within the values of your family structure and it's not harmful to themselves or to others, you know, not disrespectful and of any of the isms, then just realize that this is normal. It's totally normal. Think back when your child was smaller, you know, and they were into Mickey Mouse and then it changed to Cocomelon or whatever it is nowadays. My daughter's not a Cocomelon person because she's a little older than that stage, but you get what I'm saying. Like, it's gonna change until probably late adolescence, when they really truly now have a sense of who they are as an individual, and they're able to express that with a little more confidence and more ambition. This is, you know, obviously we're transitioning now out of our parents' house. Some will do that as they head off to college or trade school, or, you know, just want to explore the world on their own. Okay, so how can you help your child navigate? Let me check my time here on the podcast. How can you help your child navigate through these adolescent stages? Well, like we already mentioned earlier, you have to really help them in it to anticipate the changes that are going to happen in their body. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise. Like, oh yeah, I meant to tell you, like, oh, this was, you know, this is a tampon. Go ahead and put it in. It's like, why am I learning this on the first day of my menstrual cycle? Like, how about you start to kind of grab those books, or, you know, when, you know, have those conversations kind of gradually, in those respective like developmental ages. So for instance, what I'll tell parents is when they come for a checkup for a child, a young lady, when I start to see, we call them Tanner, T-A-N-N-E-R stages of development. So we'll look at like their breast development and their, adrenergic, did I say that word right? Androgens, they're adrenergic. What did I just say? Adrenergy, you guys, like adrenergy, meaning like what drives like the hair that we have on our arms, the hair that we have in our genital areas, the changes in our voice, like those symptoms or those signs and symptoms of puberty. Okay. That has stages as well. Okay. So when we're looking at those stages, like I will, when I see a young lady and I see that she's in Tanner stage, you know, one or 10 or stage two, almost three, I explained to parents then that usually, typically the menstrual cycle will begin 2 years after. And so that would be kind of the time, you know, like to start preparing your daughter, you know, to say, okay, you know, we're buying new shirts, or we're buying these new bras for you to wear, because this is your body is developing into a young lady. And this is what's going to happen. You know, I can't tell you when, but this is what's going to happen. grabbing books, like making sure that you have a period pack. I've heard of women creating like a special, I don't know, they put like in like a kind of like a pouch. With, you know, like, I don't know, some chocolate or mint, a change of underwear, you know, pads, and then keeping that in your, you know, 11-year-old, 10.5-year-old, 12-year-old backpack, you know, like if she hasn't started yet, because you just never know. Obviously you want to be discreet because we just never, you want to set them up to be, prepared, and not to have an embarrassing moment. I've heard a lot of stories of like women saying, oh, well, mine's happened when I was at school, you know, or church, you know, wearing an Easter white dress or something. So preparing them, helping them to understand how their body is changing, starting the conversations early, especially about important topics. I'm talking about all the things, all the taboo things, like healthy relationships. You know, we see domestic violence issue or domestic abuse concerns in adolescents as well, you know, like emotional abuse and manipulation and gaslighting. Like, teach your young ladies and teach your young men like what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, not just in romantic relationships, but even in like a healthy friendship, you know, when it comes to how someone may be expressing their personalities, you know, are going to be different, right? Like, we, you know, I tell my daughter all the time, you know, we can't control what other people are doing. And she's like, well, they didn't X, Y, Z. I'm like, that's because this is what you like. But that's not what they like, you know, like we have to, you know, if someone comes to you and someone says something that's offensive to you, you tell them, worry about yourself. I'm still working on my mama techniques, but I tell her, you know, like not to take this to heart. And I would say the same for our adolescents, you know, as a parent of adolescent, you know, that they need to be wise in who you're choosing as their friends, you know, like to, you know, tell my daughter now, she's 5, speak up. You know, like if you see someone who's not treating someone well, like you be their advocate, you help them, you speak up for them, you know, because you're a leader. And especially given that developmentally she's a lot taller for her age group, like really tall. So, and she just mentally thinks older as well. I think that's an only child thing too. Okay. What next? Keep the conversation with your child positive, you know, like point out their strengths. There's going to be lots of like head-to-head battles, you guys, during the adolescent stage. Sometimes you just gotta let things slide. Obviously, there's gonna be boundaries, you know, like you gotta have boundaries, you gotta have the rules set in place. And if they're not abiding to those, then yes, there needs to be natural consequences as well as, you know, removal of privileges, you know, more restrictions. However, it could be easy to get caught up in like what they're not doing and nitpicking and, you know, telling, well, I told you so, and I don't want you to do this, X, Y, and Z, whatever, when really you should make it a practice, just like we should practice gratitude daily. I think as parents, we should make it a practice to point out what they are doing well and their strengths, because we are their inner voice. I don't know if you ever guys have heard me say that before, but we are their inner voice, you know? And my daughter, God, even at 3 and 4, like she'll tell me, she's like, well, I didn't like when you said such and such. And I could just tell, you know, that maybe she was ruminating on something or she was thinking about something, you know? But she also petty, like, and she'll clap back on me. But when I have said something in a tone that was a little more loud, or out of frustration, because I'm like, we're trying to get out the door, she will let me know that like that hurt me, that hurt my feelings. And it's important for me that she speaks that back to me, because I'm not above reproach even by my daughter. And when I say that, what I mean is that like, obviously she's not my mom, you know, there's boundaries, but I need to know that like, as a mother who's still evolving, I'm not always gonna get it right. And if my daughter is offended and is hurt by how I'm interacting with her, then that means there's still improvement in how I can improve and how I approach her and how I'm parenting her and the season. So I need to go back to like, what am I dealing with? What's on my plate? That's a little too much and too overwhelming. That's causing this conflict that I'm having with her not responding and her not following directions, right? A lot of times it's not connecting with her. And that's a whole nother podcast about love languages, okay? But when you are talking to them positively, like it really reinforces the good behavior. Same thing with tantrums, you know. I talk to parents of younger kids and I'll tell them, they're like, well, they're doing this. And I'm like, if you are in a safe space and it's something as wild as like rolling on the floor because you said no cookies, let them roll on the floor. Step over them if you need to get to the other side of the room. It's okay. But to be trying to reason with a baby brain, an adolescent brain, about why I said stop it right now, it's not gonna happen, okay? So before we even get to that moment of the meltdown, the slamming the doors, the I hate yous, if we focus more on the positive, So when the kids are, you know, if you notice they have a bad habit, like my daughter, like was always, she's always put her fingers in her mouth when she was like 2 and 3. And I was constantly, stop, 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 stop. Then I started having to change it to, you're doing a good job, Sage, not putting your fingers in your mouth. And she kind of smirk at me, whatever, you know, like just catch them in the act of doing good or in doing the behavior that is more acceptable and that you are desiring from them versus the opposite. Hope that makes sense. Okay. Be supportive, obviously, you know, as a parent, set clear limits, but with high and reasonable expectations, you know, like we have to communicate, you know, what you expect in regards to school engagement, you know, curfews, media use, you know, behaviors when they're not in your presence, you know, when they're going on dates, when they are in a group setting, driving, texting and driving, you know, like be acceptable behaviors of what you expect of like not utilizing the alcohol and drugs, inside or outside of your presence. I mean, in or outside of your home. And of course, honor their independence and honor their individuality. Newsflash, but they are not many versions of you. They may look like you, phenotypically. My daughter looks just like me, but she's her own person, even at the age of 4. And your teenager may be the total opposite of who you are, introvert, extrovert, you know, like sociable, not, you know, financially frugal, a spender, like whatever the case may be, like our job as parents are to guide them with bumpers up, but they're going to slide and hit those bumpers. They're going to test those boundaries. You know, they are, they do all the time. And I think that's a good thing. You know, like you mean to be like, what do you mean? I'm testing my boundaries. Because think about it, when they become that adult, you know, do you not want that child to be the one who is sitting now as an adult in a boardroom, you know, who pushes back and who negotiates and who speaks up and who is confident and shows up without imposter syndrome? You know, that's what I want for my daughter. I don't want her to question what her worth is. I don't want her to question that just because someone says, this is the way it is, that she can't respectfully share her opinion and share another solution and another way of thinking. You know, that's my goal in parenting. So there it is, you guys. It's a lot, right? 3 different stages, a lot that happens. And we didn't talk about the physical. Well, we did talk about some physical growth, but it's physical, emotional, psychologically, like the things they go through, like the pressures and the stress. Like this pandemic, man, I have way too many children that I can count that stick out in my mind and my memory in regards to how much anxiety and depression that was happening, you know, from being isolated, having to do virtual schooling. That was so hard. That's so hard on them. To, you know, losing family members. I've had patients who've lost their parents, grandparents to COVID, to other comorbidities exacerbated because of COVID. The financial demands and stress that come in our teenage, adolescent population of those children who live in poverty, and it being expected to kind of take on the load of the family, especially if you're first in birth order. That's me. It's a lot. And teenagers go through depression just like adults do. And unfortunately, sometimes we miss it as parents. As physicians and pediatricians, we have been given guidelines to screen starting at the age of 12. You know, I'll even screen younger if I'm noticing, you know, affect, like it's kind of blunted and not engaging, you know, grades are declining, doesn't want to participate in the things that they used to like, more arguments, withdrawing, you know, some withdrawal and privacy, that's normal. But if you, they typically love always, you know, the Sunday outing for ice cream and is that their favorite spot to go to, whatever. And even if you, you know, offer just to pay and they can go up there with their best friend, you know, like on their bikes or skateboards and they're still declining, then that's kind of sometimes a yellow red flag. Like, why are you, it's not me, mommy, saying, hey, come with me. I'm saying you can do it on your own. You know, I'm offering, you know, activities for you to do. And when they're declining things they normally take interest in, sleeping all the time or not sleeping at all, hyperactive or not moving as much, restless, changes in appetite, like you just noticing a drastic change in their behaviors and how they're connecting with you and can't open up, then it is would be wise to have them screened for depression or anxiety. Because unfortunately, depression and suicidality plagues our adolescent population as well. I remember because their brains are still not fully developed, they have a lot more impulsive behaviors. So, didn't mean to end this on a very sad note, but I will end it by saying that you guys rock. Those who are parenting teenagers, especially our single parents parenting teenagers, I don't know how you're doing it, but you're doing it. Give yourself grace. Give them more grace. Be compassionate. Respect their individuality and know that make the best of it as best as you can. And I hope that these were some great pearls that you were able to listen into and be able to apply to your own family structure. All right, you guys, I'm out on Instagram. I am out on the podcast, and I will talk to you guys soon. See ya.